fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue to lead us through a reflection on St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 3. And again, I want to put it in the context of this season of Lent to help us remember that this is a very important time in the church year, the season of Lent. It's essential. It's really been with us this 40 days of preparation for the celebration of Easter since the very early church. And it's an imitation and part of Jesus' time in the desert, Jesus' spiritual combat against the enemy, and dialing into the Father's mission for him. And that mission was tested by the devil. And the devil tried to knock him off track. It tried to confuse him. He tried to seduce him. He tried to offer him, you know, everything the world could give. Remember, the scripture says very clearly, the whole world is in the power of the devil. What does that mean? I mean, that whole fallen dimension of the world which resists God, the love of money, of power, of possession, of domination, of all that stuff that's there in the world, and we see it and taste it almost every day. You see it and taste it in the news, but around us, but it's also present. It affects our own lives, and there's a way we connive and cooperate with the world and its ego and its resistance to God. And so this Lenten season is like Jesus' battle against the enemy who tried to offer to Jesus all that glitters and all the gold and all the power. And he said, I'll give it to you if you do this one thing, if you worship me. Satan is, that's what he's all about. He's demanding, and he wants to seduce all of God's creation. He wants to seduce the image of God. Men and women who are made literally for God. We're made by God. We're made for God. We're made to love God and to love one another and to freely offer our lives to him. That's the whole meaning of human existence in a nutshell. That's it. To be God's children in a family madly in love and imaging the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the devil says, no, I demand that I be the center, that I be the focus, and you will worship me, and you will obey me. And to Jesus said, I'll give you everything in this world, but you've got to give me that. You've got to bend your knee to me. Jesus resisted it. That same battle is happening in your life and mine. If we don't see it, it's because we're blind. The devil, he's got a perfect plan. He's got a bad plan, but he's got his own perfect plan for your life and mine. And he's going to work that plan. He's going to say, where are Peter's vulnerabilities? Is he easily distracted? Is he vain? Can I get him there? Is he full of lust? Can I get him there? Is he proud? Does he need to be superior, feel superior to other people? Can I get him there? Where is it? And where has he been sufficiently wounded in his life? Is he fixated on his wounds? Is he full of self-pity? How can we get him? And the enemy will just keep circling and circling, and he'll, in a strange way, that malevolent creature has a kind of patience, and he just works us and works us, because if he can distract, if he can slow us down, if he can, for example, in the season of Lent, get us in the place where we're just too busy and we have too many other fun things on our mind to take seriously this important season, and really in a time when the world needs the church to really be the church, because the world is in a very tough place right now. I mean, it's always in a kind of upheaval, it seems like, but there's a lot of instability and sort of destabilization going on and confusion in the world today. And the church needs to be light, it needs to be salt, it needs to be a place of rest, of peace, of confidence, of security, not dominated by the frantic anxiety that dominates the world. And here we are. And so the season of Lent, as we walk with Jesus, isn't just a season of letting things go, which we need to. It's not just a time of self-emptying, but the self-emptying needs to happen so that we can be filled. The Lord wants to fill us, and that's what we've been trying to do over the last few days as we're reflecting on St. Paul's teaching about the mystery of Christ, because that's what the Lord, that's what the Father wants us to be filled with. He wants us to be imitators of his Son. He wants us to know Christ. So St. Paul said, I want to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I want to know. And I want to know about his resurrection, and I want to have fellowship in his suffering. That's what I'm after. That's where the church wants to lead you and me. Is our minds and our hearts just so full of stuff that compete for our attention and clamor in us sort of night and day for a kind of slavish devotion that we don't really have time? We don't have space for God. A friend of mine from Toledo, Greg Schleter, runs a wonderful ministry called Mass Impact and Ignite, and he's doing great work working with families, helping families to make room for God and help them to be a communion, a domestic church. And he often talks about the process of the work the Lord is doing, if you can simplify it, you know? Empty, fill, overflow is a phrase that he uses, and I like that. This is a great season to think about that. We're emptying ourselves, not just so that we can walk around empty, but we're emptying ourselves so that we can be filled. We can be filled with God. We can be, as Scripture says, be filled with the Spirit. I mentioned yesterday, if you had a chance to tune into the program, Paul says that the revelation of the mystery of God has come to us in this age through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. And if we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into him through the Spirit. We're given a share in Christ's own Spirit, which makes us children of God. And the Spirit is the one sent on mission from the Father and the Son to lead us to be conformed to Christ, to literally become saints, to be united, to be in an unbelievably awesome union with the person of Jesus Christ, who leads us to God the Father, to that union with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is like the unknown person, the forgotten person of the Holy Trinity. It's possible to go through life with very little relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that happens, I think, to a lot of people. Because to have a relationship with somebody, you need to pay attention. You need to be in communion. You need to speak to. You need to receive from. And so Paul's saying here, what we received was the Holy Spirit revealed to us the mystery that's in Christ. And that's a mystery that was hidden from all ages, but is now revealed for the sake of the glory of God and the salvation of the world. And it was as chapter 3, verse 6 that I ended the program with yesterday. He said, that is how the Gentiles are fellow heirs. Mystery number one that he's talking about. That the promises of God that came to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets as well, the patriarchs and the prophets, these promises are not just for the people of Israel, that the Messiah king would come and establish a reign. It's not a kingdom on this earth. It's the kingdom that Jesus Christ has established that will never die. It's the eternal kingdom of God. And all of God's creation is drawn into this. And he says, we're members now of the same body. That what Christ has begun in pouring out the Holy Spirit, he's creating one new man. So Scripture talks about one new man. That is, Jesus is the head of a body. We are its members, those who share in a new life in the Spirit. He says we are partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. St. Peter said when Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when the church was born, the Father gave over to Jesus the promised Holy Spirit. What was promised throughout the Old Testament was new hearts, a new creation of God dealing with sin, of God making all things new. That's all the yearning for it is all there in the movement. And we become partakers in that promise. How? Because we're born of Jewish parents? No. We're the ingrafting. We share in the promise to Abraham, who's our father in faith. And Abraham, without even knowing it, Moses, what they were anticipating in the coming of the Messiah, is the person of Jesus. Christ Jesus, Paul says. Christ is what? Christ means anointed. He's the one anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the promise of God. What was promised? What's promised is being brought from death to life. What's promised is to be like God, to become partakers of the divine nature. Nobody can make that happen. My bloodlines can't do it. Money, science, technology, education, power, nothing on our end can make that happen. It's God's gift to us, and it comes to us from the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. Paul calls him here Christ Jesus. So the Anointed of God, and Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God saves. It's the Anointed Savior. And Jesus comes to us through the gospel, Paul says. This good news, this mystery, is revealed in the gospel, which means what? Good news. The gospel simply means good news. So it's the good news about God. It's the good news about God's plan in the person of Jesus. It's God's plan of salvation fully revealed. And that's why, friends, it's so crucial that the gospel be proclaimed. This is why the church is dead serious. Again and again and again, the recent popes have said, look, friends, the church exists to communicate this good news about Christ, for no other reason, ultimately, because it's through the communication of Christ that the mystery is revealed, and the power of that mystery goes forward, and human beings come to repentance. They entered the waters of baptism. They come into the communion that Christ is building, that's sharing in the communion of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One new family, one new man, the family of God, united in the most profound and beautiful and ultimately perfect way, which will be perfected when Christ comes again and he gathers us all and we enter into glory and being transformed fully in him. It's that gospel. That gospel has the power to change life. That's the only means by which we're changed, by the good news of the person of Jesus Christ. And so the church, as I said, is dead serious about us speaking about Jesus. It tells time and again, it's our duty. It's the duty of every baptized person to share with others the amazing reality of what's been given to us through the gospel and our baptism, and our being, by no merit of our own, we're entering into the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God's economy and plan to save everything and renew everything that he's touched. And the crown of that creation that he has a plan for is man, men and women, the image of God. We're the only ones in all of God's creation that can be something other than we're meant to be. We bear the image of God. Now, it's fallen, it's been marred, but we can accept or reject it. That's what's in play. And the enemy's seducing us to reject it and insist on our own identity apart from God. And Jesus has come to say, let me restore you to everything that you were meant to be. Friends, we've got to speak the gospel. It is really good news. There truly is no better news possible. And the reason, I think, there's many reasons we don't talk about it, but one of them is we don't really know how good the good news is. Partly because we don't know how bad the bad news is and what Christ has done with that bad news and bringing us to the place where we can live in the good God's plan for each and every one of us. Friends, I hope you can join me again tomorrow. I'm going to continue through this amazing reflection through St. Paul. May we be filled up in this season with the grace and power of the Spirit. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.